This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
DCR.
Jay Williams was supposed to join us at 5:30 this morning. He got a flat tire. Apparently, he hates Carlin. You've had him booked how many times and never once has he shown up? He doesn't like you,
does
he?
I guess not. We've never spoken, but all I can tell you is I filled in with Bart on Bart and Hahn, and Jay Will is on with them every Tuesday, and every single time I've been there on a Tuesday, it's been one reason or another that he has bailed out. I hear that he's got a flat tire, and I look up at 6, and there he is on the screen.
This is DCR.
I don't see any oil on his hands from having fixed a tire on the side of the BQE.
On 98.7 ESPN.
I think that's because he hates you, Carlin. And I don't know why. Carlin in for Canty all week long. There we go. Right at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. Yeah, no, there's some real issues. We had a couple of moments today. I got angry, and I think it was founded. You guys thought that I was out of line in the 5 o'clock hour, right?
Yeah, you set the show off on a bad foot.
The week off, really.
The whole week, really, yeah.
Yeah, it was odd that you exploded that quickly.
Oh, God.
Here's what happened. This is my humble opinion. Besides the whole diarrhea with the dog thing, I can't imagine that the heart locket necklace landed the way you expected it to land.
What do you mean?
You have a 50-year-old man giving a locket necklace.
It was a beautiful necklace.
I don't know.
No. It went over very well.
And then on top of that, you make her take the dog to the emergency room instead.
No. You guys are barking up the wrong tree here, pun intended. No. I did not make her. She said, "I'm taking them." And I said, let me take them. Let me go. She said, "No, I'm taking them."
No, you didn't make enough of a legitimate effort.
How many times am I supposed to jump in there and say, "No, I will take them," before I say, "You know what?"
As many as it takes.
Exactly.
You get up there, you take those keys, you say, "No, Sherry, you stay in bed. I'll take the dog. Tomorrow's our anniversary."
Yeah.
17 years.
None of this laying there in bed. No.
Yeah, no, I'll do it.
I got it.
Yeah, I'll do it. I'm so tired. I'll do it.
No, honey, it's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I wake up very early. Carlin, I want to see you on Friday.
Don't even.
I want to see you Friday night. You know what? Why don't we do this? Let's schedule a call, you and me, 11:30 Friday night this week.
That's fine.
Oh, yeah, fine.
That's fine.
You'll have your CPAP machine on. No way.
Let me
there
tell you
is
something.
No way that since you would I've be able to talk thing, to me at 11:30 on Friday night.
I sleep like a baby since I've had that thing. I may look like Bane, but I absolutely sleep brilliantly.
Yeah, early risers will get work.
You laugh. That thing's great.
Do you really do have one?
I absolutely have one. What do you think?
Do you stop
three
breathing?
Pills,
you stop
Dave,
breathing
obviously
during the night, don't
I have
you?
Sleep apnea. Of course I do. I've had it for about a year and a half, and let me tell you something. I sleep so well. It was, so good. So good.
I'm pleased for that. I didn't realize you actually had one.
Yeah, no, it's all right. You can assume things with fat people, as you clearly did, Dave, as somebody that used to be and now wants to be in the other category and, you know, take shots at your former people. That's fine.
I was fat at one point.
Yeah, no, that doesn't, fat for you was like what? Your fattest was what, 220?
Yeah, I was 222.
Yeah, shut up. You were 222?
Well, yeah.
Come on, that's not fat. How tall are you?
No one cared who I was till I put on the mask.
How tall are you, Dave?
5'11".
Yeah, 222 is not fat. Come on. I aspire to 222.
If you were 222, you would start a modeling career, right?
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding? I haven't seen that since sophomore year of high school.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, as a 15-year-old, you were over 220?
Roughly. Yeah, I was probably right around there. And then, yeah, I put on some weight. I mean, we can go into the emotional issues that happened in high school that led to the weight gain if you want. But, yeah. No, like, there was one point in college where I was, my highest ever was 347.
347?
Yeah. Yeah. That was my early in my senior year in college.
347. 347, Chris?
Yeah.
Brutal. Nobody pulled you aside and said, Chris, we adore you. We love you. But, I mean, look, you're eating yourself to death.
Well, I'm not 347 anymore, Dave. So, yeah, somebody did pull me aside. Okay. Reality pulled me aside.
What are you laughing about?
That's a great friend. You're eating yourself.
347. I got to be honest. I don't think I could get to 347.
So you're so much better than me.
No, I'm not saying
just so much better than everybody. First of all, don't ask me how I'm doing, stupid minions out there. And now I could never get to 347. That's out of my physical possibility.
I don't think I could do it. Rick, how long do you think it would take you or I to get to 347, if at all?
Well, it's an athletic build.
No, length of time. I was up to, I mean, my I was heavier than you. My heaviest was, I was 247.
You were 250?
Yeah, I got 250.
250 I could get to, is I could, not that big, Dave. 250? You think 250 is big? That's not that big.
250 is big. For Rick, no. What do you weigh now, Rick?
215, 210?
Yes, 250. Yeah, that's 40 pounds, Carlin.
Yeah, I understand that. But I'm saying, Rick, you're 6 foot, right?
6'1"? Yeah, 6 foot, yeah.
Yeah. 250 is, like, there are more people walking around 250 than you realize. Are you living in you know, Pleasantville or something? There's
this new skinny
wonderland up in Westchester that I don't know about?
It's better than everybody.
Yes, where we ostracize the heavyset people. Yeah,
clearly.
And now look at this obese man that's going to sit in the chair.
Look at me. I'm 210 pounds. I'm a fatty. Shut up. I've really let myself go.
All right. I'd like to get into the Knicks because it's the one thing that...
You know what? I'm going to take my shirt off. You have to look at this the rest of the...
No, please take that off.
I don't think you will. I honestly, I do not believe that you will take your shirt off and do the show.
Do you think... Like, I'm not even the guy that gets in the pool with the T-shirt either.
Really?
Dave is.
No, absolutely.
No, I wear a swim shirt. No, not the T-shirt. I go with the swim shirt. Oh, it's disgusting. An SUV protected shirt.
I'm too sexy for my love.
You wear a swim shirt?
No, oh, yeah.
Yes. Going
to Why?
I have baby soft skin because I get burned.
I have soft skin.
I do.
Look
I
at
get
me.
Burned.
I spend a half hour outside and my head looks like the bottom of a thermometer. I mean, and you're talking about
listen.
That.
Oh, no, please.
My temperature
oh,
taken regularly as a child.
Oh,
you
God.
Don't, you don't want to be a thermometer around Dave, Carl.
I am thermometer boy right now. Now I have fractured glass in my rear. Can I ask you a question, Chris, before we get to the Knicks?
Please.
And we will very soon.
And this is only day one. Please.
You're about my age, I believe, right? How old are you?
48.
So you are exactly my age. Mm-hmm. When you were a child, 8, mm-hmm. 9, 10 years old, mm-hmm. how did you have your temperature taken?
Yeah.
You did, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. See?
And the problem was that my mom was a nurse.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah. It was a big uh-oh.
We'll leave it at that. But thank you for corroborating.
My name is Dave, and I had my temperature taken rectally as a child.
I remember looking at my mom thinking, doesn't this insult both of us?
It was. It still scars me to no end. It was they're like, you're burning up. I don't have a fever. Just don't. You don't have to take it. You're burning up. No, I feel fine. I'm great.
I'm good. I'll go to school.
You can't stand. Nope. You lie yourself right down there on your stomach. We're taking your temperature, my friend. All right, now let's hear what Don
Sally on this crap that it was more accurate. Please.
Right.
It sounds terrible.
You know what? I don't need. I'm not looking for accuracy. Within 3 degrees is fine. Totally fine. You have 98, maybe 101, 104, 107. Who cares? Just nobody guesses 98. Please don't do that, for the love of God. All right, here's Don LaGreca Friday on the K Show with his expectations about the New York Knicks.
So our expectations were zero because we didn't know what to expect. But now you've played 60-plus games? How do you not recalibrate? The coach is phenomenal. He's going to win Coach of the Year. Randall's going to finish in the top five of MVP. You're sitting there as a four seed. If you're not calibrating, you're not trying. You're not doing anything. So you're sitting there winning 11 to 12 and still saying, hey, this is all, I didn't expect anything. Well, now you should expect something. See, people that don't recalibrate, Michael, of a season like this, they're afraid to dream. They don't want to get hurt. So they say, that way I can't feel any pain if they fall to the play-in. I won't feel any pain if they get bounced in the first round because I never recalibrated from the beginning of the season. I'm sorry. Being a fan means you got to put yourself out there.
I think he's right that you have to recalibrate. My whole question is, what are we recalibrating to? Like, if they play the Heat, am I recalibrating to think that they're going to win that series? Because I don't. If they play the Hawks, that's the one team that you could possibly play in the first round that I look at and say, yeah, you know what? That's a series they can win. But that's it. I mean, they're not beating Brooklyn. I don't think they're beating Miami. They're not beating Philly. They're not beating Milwaukee. So, yeah, I think they can beat Atlanta, and I will stop right there.
It would have been up until... what, probably over the weekend, I think that if the Celtics had been in the 4-5 and the Knicks matched up with the Celtics, you would have been a little disappointed if they lost to the Celtics. No?
Yes, maybe a little bit. Just because the Celtics haven't been good. Like, there's been something going on with the Celtics all season.
Yeah.
But if all of a sudden, you know, you start that, you know, game one, Kemba Walker looks like he's back to being Kemba Walker, and they still got Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. I wouldn't be horrified if they lost that series.
Would you be horrified? I hope they win. There's no series that the Knicks could lose that I'd be horrified over. If the Knicks lost to
Atlanta... Oh, I'd be horrified if they lost to the Hawks.
Oh, come on. You'd be horrified if the Knicks lost to the Hawks in seven games?
I
would. Horrified?
Absolutely.
Oh, you're crazy.
Absolutely, I would.
Horrified?
Horrified.
No.
Horrified.
You'd be horrified if the Nets lost in the first round. You would not be horrified if the Knicks lost to the Hawks.
The Knicks swept the Hawks this year. I mean, they tossed them aside like they were nothing, and they're good enough defensively where the Hawks are not remotely good enough to beat them if they're playing at their level defensively that they're capable of.
No.
I would be horrified.
I don't agree with you at all. I would be disappointed if the Knicks lost to the Hawks. Horrified? No. Now, maybe it's semantics, or we're getting, you know, captured with the words that we're using, but horrified means like this would be a hideous loss of a series. I don't look at it like that.
It would kind of depend on how it went. Horrified is strong. You're right. It would depend how it went down, but I would be exceptionally disappointed if they lost to the Hawks. Like, that to me, and I know this is bizarre to say, but it would be a very sour end to an excellent year. A very sour end to an excellent year.
Yeah, but here's the thing I need to find out. As far as recalibrating, I mean, when Don says recalibrate, is he talking about recalibrate as meaning like they should be expected to win a first round playoff series, or did we recalibrate when we said, okay, initially we would be happy, like once they proved to everyone that they're okay, this is a legitimate team, they're really well coached, they play great defense, I mean they continue to get better, their shooting is, I mean, I can't
believe
they have
a star player, yep, RJ Barrett, the whole thing, we agree.
Okay, so at that point we said, okay, if this team gets into the play-in, we'd be happy. And then they're at least competing to get into a playoff series. So we started there with the first recalibration. Was this could be a legit? This could be a team that's in the play-in. Then all of a sudden, this thing kept going, right? Second half is going to be much more difficult. They go on this run. Wasn't the recalibration like, okay, they're going to be in a playoff series?
Yep.
Like, we would be mortified if they fell out of the top six. So are we now at a point where we would be like Atlanta? If they lost to Atlanta, I would be disappointed because I think that's a good matchup for us in the first round of the playoffs. But I can't say that I would be... Mortified is strong.
Horrified, I think, was the word, right?
Horrified, mortified, what, one of the fights. I'd be upset, but I mean, it was still an unbelievable season.
But yes. To me, that's how they have raised the bar so much this year. The fact that I can actually even remotely think like that. And it is because they are, as you said, and I think the biggest key of what you said is this. It's not just about the fact that they don't have talent. We all agree that their talent level is, in theory, just not very good. But they are a good team. And is it possible, given what they have done, that talent level is a little bit better? Not a lot. A little bit better than maybe we had given them credit for. You know, that I don't think any of us saw Barrett coming around at this level this quickly. And he has. I don't think, certainly none of us saw what was going to happen with Randall. But when you look at the, you know, the whole as being greater than the sum of the parts, I think they're a very good team. I think they're a very good team. I don't think there's somebody that can beat any of the top three, but I think they're a very good team.
I don't know. I'm excited by them. I have changed my outlook on them. Very good team, and horrified if they lose to Atlanta. I don't know that I'm there.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Carlin, just talking to RJ. We're going to plan the week with guests, and he's going to start to reach out. We know that Jay Williams hates you and refuses to come on the show when you are on. Is there anyone else that we should steer clear of this week?
Well, I mean,
I'm a big fan of Oprah.
Yeah, she's never cared for me. we had a dispute over the whole Weight Watchers bit. I had an endorsement.
Aminu Muhammad, baby.
That didn't work out. Not really anybody that I can think of.
Right.
I again, more than Jay will, I really think it's Han. I think Han is planting the seeds in Jay Will's ear, like, hey.
So what's the issue with you and Han then?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, you know what it is. It's Carlin's relationship with Bart.
Oh, is he jealous of you?
Yes.
Maybe. I don't know. I walked in there to the studio the other day to say hi to Alan because, you know, Alan has been working his tail off and we had a discussion, but you know what? I won't lie. It does feel like seeing your ex with somebody else.
Han!
Was it cold? Was it uncomfortable, your conversation with Han?
I wouldn't say cold. I would say...
It wasn't bubbly.
It wasn't bubbly. Perhaps a little bit chillier than tepid. So as I said earlier, suck it, Han.
Oh.
Yes.
I think we're getting to the crux of the issue right now.
I mean, Rick, you know Han better than anybody. Can you see that? Can you see him planting, hey, Jay, you hear this name he's on? Maybe not.
Well, yeah.
All right, quick break. Jay Williams on the other side.
Yeah, why? Especially when Dave butchers his name like that. Yeah, I mean, he sees you with Bart, and obviously, I mean, there's a little bit of jealousy. So now what he's trying to do is he's a big star now. He's like, hey, listen, I'm not going to let the same thing happen with Jay Will.
Well,
I'm the Chris Carlin spell. We're not going to do it.
You know what I did is I did purposely walk into their studio 2 minutes before the show just nice. So Bart would be thinking about me.
You should have walked in as they were saying good morning. Right in. Hey, guys, how you doing? I once weighed 347.
Wow. Like, you are such a rabid anti-fatite. What is it?
Let's go to Kevin Kevin in Nutley. Go ahead, Kevin. Good morning.
Oh, yeah.
98.7.
Gentlemen, good morning. I had to call and chime in. Wife's getting ready to pop out her first child, but what the Knicks are doing right now is they can't...
Well, hang on a minute. You're at the hospital now waiting for the child?
I am not at the hospital. I'm not at the hospital now. We had a major false alarm this weekend, but she is what we're told. We're home right now. Bags are packed. We're ready to rock. Got you guys on a radio. Just need to chime in on Knicks hoops.
Nice. Have at it.
So I think what the Knicks are doing is they keep getting off focus and their expectations keep rising. So I think a Knicks fan would have been happy not playing in the plane about 3 weeks ago. And now I think where we are, if we're sitting at 4 seed with home court advantage, I think expectations are you beat the Atlanta Hawks in a 7-game series. But is it going to be Atlanta? We know Miami is a different beast in the postseason. As a diehard Knicks fan, if we draw the Miami Heat and we give them everything they have in a 7-game series, I'm locked and loaded, prepared to move on to next year. But if it's the Atlanta Hawks as well as they're playing and what Nate McMillan is doing over there, the Knicks have to win that series in advance. Have to.
Now, let me ask you a question. You hung up on him.
You're going to blame me?
I know you can't hang up on him. It was Santiago. He gets a little bit crazy with the ball.
See how the phone sounded?
It didn't sound great.
I wanted to sound like he was calling from
may have been from a tin can.
Tunnel.
I mean, they're ready to have birth. I mean, they're trying to give him a couple tips and to get this baby going.
See, there's a guy that follows through on what he wants to do when a birth is on the way. But go ahead.
No, I'm good. I was going to give him a couple pieces of advice, things to do to get the baby to come out.
You got any advice for me?
Yours? We'll talk about that.
I'm 74 months pregnant right now.
We got to get more in depth with that. I think it's, listen, what happens in the first round of the playoffs is going to depend on the matchup, how you feel. If it's the Atlanta Hawks, you'll expect that there's a good chance that you could beat Atlanta.
You have a good, yes. But, I mean, is it any better than 60-40? Really?
It, I don't know what the odds. Beating the Hawks?
You make it sound like this is just, oh, the Knicks would run through the Hawks. The Hawks have played great basketball, and they have a lot of talent.
Let me tell you something. If the Knicks play the Hawks, they'd beat them in five.
Wow.
That's how little I think of the Hawks, even though they have talent. I don't feel like the Hawks are a team that would really give them a lot of trouble.
But that being said, Carlin, the only team that you look at that the Knicks, you feel, win in the first round against is the Hawks, right?
Right now, because they're not going to get the Celtics. Yeah, absolutely.
And they're not beating Miami. And they're
They're not going to beat Miami.
And they're not beating the Nets.
No.
Right.
No. Absolutely not.
Well, let's go to Q in Newark. Good morning, Q.
Good morning. How's it going, fellas?
Now, here we go.
We're doing fantastic. Ask Dave how Dave is doing.
Hey, man, listen. Dave is always my man. I know Dave always good. I ain't worried about him.
See? Q gets it. Go have all these people fooled.
You know. Listen, I'm up here on the railroad in Jersey, right? I just want to say something about my Knicks, man. Listen. Tom Thibodeau is a defensive coach. No matter who we play in the first round, we're going to give it our all. Every year, we know we're going to win the first round if we play Atlanta. But when it comes to Milwaukee, Brooklyn, we're going to give it our all. No, we might not beat them, but we're going to give 100%. And the way Randle and Barrett are playing, come on, man. We got to give them a fighting chance. When the last time have we had a fighting chance like this? Not in 10, 15 years? Come on, guys. Come on. Just give us a fighting chance. You know what I mean? Put your money on us when we play the Hawks, and you'll win some money. That's what I'm going to do. You get what I'm saying?
All right. Listen, Q, good luck to you. I really hope it happens. I just think that this idea that, oh, please, if the Knicks play the Hawks, that's a cakewalk series, and then let's look at the second round. I think you're making
a really big
mistake.
It's not cakewalk.
You just said you think
they'd win in
five games.
It were six, but I would say, Dave, that if they play the Hawks and lost to the Hawks, you wouldn't be disappointed?
I'd be. Well, first of all, I'd have to see how it went down, right? If the Knicks got hammered, I would be disappointed. If the Knicks lost a game seven where Trae Young went bananas, yeah, I would be disappointed, but I don't think it takes away from the great season that they've had. They've had a phenomenal season.
They have had a phenomenal season. It is a major step in the right direction, but it would be a bitter end to a phenomenal season. That's my point. Would it wipe it all out? No. The Knicks fans have been living in the desert for 20 years. So they should enjoy everything that's happened this year, but to me, to lose to the Hawks would be a very disappointing end of the year.
Let's go to Arthur in East Meadow. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning. Not only are the Knicks going to win the first round, they're going to shock and win the second round.
Now you're drunk.
The only reason why
we go.
Defense. Man, I'll tell you right now. Defense. You can be as great offensively as you want. Come play all time. Defense wins. I'm not sold on the Nets because as much talent as they have, they haven't played together and come play all time. It's going to get tight when you have to play somebody four, five, six, seven times. The Knicks are going to surprise people. They're going to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. They'll lose then.
But why stop there? Arthur, really, why stop there? If the Knicks are going to get by the Nets, why not get all the way to the NBA Finals? Why stop at the Eastern Conference Finals?
Because the Bucks or the 76ers are going to be a harder team because they've been there before. They've played together for a while. They're going to be hard teams to beat. The Nets, I'm not buying the Nets. You know what? The regular season is one thing. Playoffs are completely different. And I love Tibbs. Coach Tibbs, he knows defense. He knows basketball. I'm telling you, the Knicks, not only one round, they go two rounds.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Yeah, but here's the other thing, too. Listen, I understand what he's saying. I mean, the game changes in the playoffs. I get it. They don't care what the sport is. I mean, defense is a big factor in whether or not you win or lose in the postseason. The other big factor is experience, too. Like how many New York Knicks that you're going to depend on in a playoff series have actually had playoffs experience?
This is fair. I think that's a big part of it. But I think when we talk about that from a Knick perspective, the defense will travel into the postseason.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
RJ reached out to a guest, a baseball guest for Wednesday, Rick. Said, you know, just to let you know, it's going to be Carlin instead of Canty. That individual said, no, thank you.
Who was the baseball guest?
I don't know that I can bring that on air.
I think you can. I think you can.
I don't want to divulge any information I'm not supposed to.
If people don't like me, and I get it, I'm not likable.
No, I disagree with that wholeheartedly. I think you're jovial. You're a nice guy. You're fun. You're entertaining. I think you bring it all to the table.
I think there are times, though, that I rub people the wrong way. Rick, you want to take over?
No, I don't. You know, I mean, you got a little bit of trolling you. You like to troll people a little bit.
A little bit. I mean, there was, like, last week, so much vitriol when I said, in the middle of the Yankee game, boy, this is going to be something when Altuve hits a bomb off Chapman later. And they didn't take kindly to that. It was a joking troll. But there are times where I have a troll in me that can't help but come out.
Absolutely. What do you say to that? Really? You're begging for us to make fun of you.
I know, but just to give you a quick example, a few years ago, I took a friend of mine to the Hall of Fame because they were big fans of Kenny Stabler getting into the Hall of Fame.
All right, so Ken, right.
Same year, briefly, as Brett Favre. And all the Packer fans are just swarming the place. And they're going nuts for Favre, and they're all wearing their Packer jerseys. And they're all just screaming and yelling. And I can't help myself in the middle of these hundreds of people to stand up and say, as they're getting done giving him the 12th standing ovation, hey, remember when he forced his way out of town and wanted to play for the Vikings? Wasn't that cool?
And what happens at that moment?
There were heads snapping in my direction. And then, like, nobody was throwing punches. It was the Hall of Fame. But, like, if it had been Lambeau, it would have happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's one of those spots. I just can't help myself.
KJZ coming up at 8 o'clock, of course, this morning, Rick. You know where they're leading the show? 8 o'clock, right off the top?
Let me think about hold on one second. Let me guess.
Yeah, take a guess.
One, Christopher Canty.
Yeah, Chris Canty will be on the show right at the top at 8 o'clock. Now,
thank you, Captain Obvious.
Riddle me this, would you? I'm perplexed in this one. Let me get my bearings.
Riddle me this.
He's not with us this entire week, yes?
Correct.
He's taking the week off. He's going to be doing First Take. And my understanding is that First Take will take all of his time in preparation, and I understood that. But now he's joining KJZ right at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm puzzled, I'm bewildered, and I'm confused. Is there any way that either of you at this moment can explain what is happening?
No. I would call it a direct shot. I would call it a very not-so-subtle, passive-aggressive message.
He doesn't like Dave. I think that's what it comes down to.
No. Why would you say me?
Because I think he likes me.
I don't know about that.
No, I know he likes me.
Rick tortures me, and I love him.
See, thank you. I get beautiful text messages from Carlin. I miss your face. I mean, lovely stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I never get that. Why do I never get that?
I mean, when was the last time I saw your face other than this morning on the Zoom?
Probably March of 2020.
Right. So,
yeah. So maybe you miss it.
Yeah, maybe I do, but it didn't
clearly
come to
not.
Mind.
I understand. He's the athlete. You have to pander to him. I see how it is.
Now, I don't really pander to anybody. I'm just kind of my own man.
Let's go to Sean in East Orange. Good morning,
Until
Sean.
Until it benefits me.
You're on 98.7.
Good morning. Good morning, fellas. I just want to make this comment about the Knicks. The New York Knicks, man, we got three awards that's locked in this year. We got Julius Randle, most improved. Coach Tibbs, maybe coach of the year, but we got another locker for award this year. Derrick Rose, sixth man of the year. That's all, fellas.
Yeah, I don't think he's been great. I don't think, I mean, you can deny how good he's been. I don't think he's going to end up getting the sixth man of the year.
I don't think so either. I don't see that happening.
I think Jordan Clarkson's probably one of the guys I would look to, sixth man of the year.
Absolutely. He's been
tremendous. Great. Derrick Rose is a tremendous player and has had a phenomenal season.
And in your wildest expectations, has been better than what you thought he could do when they brought him back here.
I don't think the awards things really need to be that important to a Knicks fan right now, because you've known what's going on and you want that respect nationally. You're going to get Tibbs is going to win the Coach of the Year.
I don't know that that's true.
You don't think Quinn Snyder? Who do you think?
I think Monty Snyder. Williams. I think Monty Williams. I think Thibodeau is up there, but I don't see definitively just saying he's going to win Coach of the Year.
See,
I'm bring up the odds. Let me get the odds on that.
Oh, here we go.
The last couple of weeks might have put him over the top, considering
D-Gen Dave back in action.
You know what? Why? Because I want to see the odds of what the Vegas insider is thinking. Does it make me a D-Gen? Chris, are you not interested in this?
I'm interested in this.
Okay.
He doesn't have the same kind of history that you have, though.
I don't know if that's true. Chris, I've heard you many times during your shows. You're a compulsive gambler.
I wouldn't say compulsive gambler, Dave. No. No, I wouldn't say compulsive gambler. I would say...
Yes,
sir. I would say I occasionally throw a couple of bucks down.
Did you ever bet the WNBA All-Star game?
I have never bet any All-Star game. The only All-Star game I've ever been tempted to bet was the Pro Bowl over. That was it.
Well, there was a time where the Western Conference and the WNBA was the dominant conference, and you missed out on.
And are you telling me it was a lock that I missed out on for several years?
Listen, Cheryl Swoops, Tisha Panichero. I mean, they were loaded in that Western Conference. All right, so here are your odds, Carlin. Mm-hmm. Monty Williams is the favorite at the moment. He's 5-7, so he's minus 140. Thibodeau is next up at plus 150. And then Quinn Snyder's plus 250. So, and that's it. And then it's Doc Rivers, who's plus 2,500. So it'll be Williams, Thibodeau, or Snyder will be one of those three will be Coach of the Year.
I know the years that they've had. And I get it. They'll get the votes out west. I don't know how you look at what the Knicks were last year and have virtually the same roster and not make Thibodeau the coach. I don't know how you don't.
No, because you know who votes for these awards and how they vote for the awards. I have the same problem with how they vote for the MVP, too.
Well, just because you don't understand the rationale behind what the MVP actually is.
Well, no, they don't. It's not because it's not for most valuable. It's most outstanding on the best team, usually.
That's right.
See, you and I think a lot alike.
Okay,
it absolutely should be most valuable to his team's success.
So then you would give it to Julius Randle.
There was a point this year where I would have. I probably wouldn't right now because Jokic has been part of the Nuggets and has had the year that he's had, and the Nuggets wouldn't be having that year without him.
You take Jokic off the Nuggets, and they would be closer to what they are now than if you take Randle off the Knicks.
That's true. But the Nuggets have had such a good year.
Great. And Jokic is going to win it running away.
Listen, I was making the Randle argument several weeks ago. I think the last few weeks it's probably just gotten away a little bit.
Let's go to Spike, our dear buddy, Spike in St. Petersburg. Good morning, Spike.
Well, good morning, guys. And I got to say one thing about the game yesterday afternoon. There's something about becoming a superstar. Julius Randle, he got his rebounds. He was way off. But, man, when the game was on the line, he just came through with flying colors. I tell you, I haven't had that much fun watching this team. And this is the immovable object, you know, that one of meeting the big force, whatever the quote is. The best offensive three-point shooting team in the NBA doesn't shoot over 40% against the best defensive team in the NBA. No one's going to want to play the Knicks. They beat the crap out of you, first of all, and I understand in the playoffs they're going to call it a little tighter, but without Quickly and without Burks, now I don't think Burks was on the team last year, and he's a part of this team. He can get hot. This team is just focused and intense. As Patrick Ewing always used to say, man, no one's going to want to play them. I do agree with you, Colin, about Atlanta. I think it's 5 or 6 games, and one reason because of experience. You know, Trae Young's a third-year player, and he's kind of frail. They'll beat him up.
And the Knicks have so much postseason experience, Spike. I mean, they're littered with postseason experience.
No, the Knicks only have Burks and Bullock only played a handful of games, under 10 each, and then Rose and Gibson, obviously. But Derrick Rose is so getting so close and taking nothing away or casting no aspersions on Julius Randle. You got two stars. On, you know, one thing, Rose is a star for 25 minutes a game, and that's fine. Rose has been brilliant. Brilliant this year. What a pickup. And I don't know if he was a Leon Rose client or not, but They got to win the Coach of the Year, Thibodeau. And the Monty Williams story is very, very sad. And I saw they got their asses kicked last night by the Lakers. So, listen, I can't wait for the playoffs. I really do. And I think it's going to be Atlanta and the Knicks. And one last thing. I think Washington, people are forgetting, they're playing Atlanta back-to-back. You know, this new compressed schedule where you play at home, 2 games at home in 3 days or 2 days. I'll tell you, I don't see Atlanta beating Washington more than once, and maybe
Beal
not at all.
Beal is out at least for the game tonight, so I don't know about that.
Oh, he's out? Okay. All right. Don't change my change the dialogue. Anyway, listen, we've got something that's going to take over this town, at least for the next couple of weeks. You know, seeing the Grom arm thing and all, and I hope for him, man, because that guy's got no luck at all.
All right, Spike, we got to go. Thank you.
Listen.
What did I do that you weren't
need
thinking?
To take a nap? You got to do something. You got to recalibrate,
see,
man.
I don't see it. He was droning on. He was on the verge of saying goodbye, and he went on for like another 30 seconds, and I was done.
You had him on hold for 136 minutes.
Well, he's committed.
He had a couple points.
I wanted to see how dedicated, in fact, he was to the show.
I don't know why. Here's the thing, though, and I get it. What the New York Knicks are doing, it's been amazing. Right, all those things, all the superlatives, it's been amazing. I don't know why Knicks fans insist on getting themselves worked into such a frenzy that now we're convinced that if they don't beat the Hawks in 5 or 6 games,
yep,
it's a huge disappointment.
I agree. I couldn't agree with you more. This idea that the Hawks have been one of the better teams in the NBA the last 30 games. They're a very talented team. And I'm not saying the Knicks can't win the series, but this idea that if they don't win the series and if it somehow goes 7 games, that that's disappointing, it's beyond me.
I'm sorry. It is. It is.
It's a terrible take, Carl.
Look at the year they've had. The
it's
Knicks
a terrible
have been amazing
take.
With the year they've had with a team that doesn't have near the talent that the Hawks do. And every time they've played the Hawks, they've beaten them. Absolutely, it would be disappointing. Listen,
yeah, but
I know you guys go by a lower bar here. I know you go by a lower bar here, okay? But, you know, let's at least raise
it a little
bit.
Who do you root for in the NBA? Are you a Knicks fan?
I don't really have an NBA team. I remain objective.
You grew up here. You never jumped on the bandwagon of an NBA team?
Not really. Nets.
So who's your football team?
Yeah, here we go. Here we go. The Steelers are my football team.
All right, so what do you mean, here we go?
Because now I thought we're getting into the, who's your team?
I asked you who your team is. I don't understand.
I know where that conversation goes.
Where is it going? I don't even know where you think it could have gone there.
I think it's going. Like, well, you can be objective about it. You're not a fan. What do you get all wrapped up in it for? That's all.
Boy, you really have a lot of vitriol this morning, huh?
No, I don't. You're the one who's screaming.
All I asked is who your team is.
How I am.
I said, who do you? Oh, by the way, I was benign about it. Like, oh, Chris, who do you root for in the NBA? And then you're like, who you gave?
It was not. Rick, play judge and jury here. That was not benign. It was, who do you root for?
No, he was taking you down the road.
I'm looking at his eyes in the Zoom right now. Like, he's got
the last person that would ever defend me. I could be on death row. He could have DNA evidence that showed that I didn't commit the murder, and he would be like, you know what? I'll present it later.
I'll clear his name after he's dead.
Yeah, you'd be sitting there in the front row. I want to. Does the injection really work? I want to see how this thing takes place.
David's
like, Rick, show them.
And you're like, oh wait, I got something.
Is this important?
Well, yeah. The missing evidence in the Killer case. He was innocent.
I am a Steelers fan. And yes, okay. I grew up here. And yes, I know that's Fugazi or whatever. But one of my oldest brothers went to college in Pittsburgh. It was the first game I ever went to. That's it.
I didn't say anything.
See, now, you were going there. I know
you're pre-defensive.
I know you. Same guy on a plane going down that says, if I don't get to see the Cowboys and the Giants tomorrow, I'm going to really be upset.
I would have been furious.
Oh, my God. He was taking it on. Listen, Dave, you know how much I love you, but that's where you were headed with that. The reason you asked the question was for that reason.
No.
Yes. Well, yes, you're going to attack
his fandom. I wanted to find out.
Why was it important who I rooted for?
Let's get to know you a little bit.
Yeah, but why was it important who I rooted for in the NFL then?
I just was interested.
You want to get to know me?
I'd like to get to know you. Who's your you have a hockey team?
I rooted for the Islanders for a long, long
time. Yes.
But now you quit the Islanders.
I kind of lost interest. And the primary reason why is that I live in New Jersey, and getting to an Islanders game is, the game might as well be in Wisconsin, you know, for me to drive from New Jersey to Uniondale. And I like to go to the games. My hockey fan career highlight is David Volek, Game 7, 1993 against the Penguins.
Is that when Kevin Stevens broke his face game?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was that game.
So let me see if I understand this. You don't have an NBA team.
I don't.
You quit on the Islanders.
That's fair to say.
You root for the Steelers, and you root for who in baseball?
Texas Rangers. Yeah,
I'm a Texas Rangers.
Yes, I was a huge, huge, huge Met fan when I was a kid. And like 82, 83, when they were bad, when they really started coming. And then 87, I had a brother who moved to Dallas.
God, everything is based on your siblings.
Yeah, well, and also the fact that the Mets traded Mookie in 89. August 31st, 89, I was out. The day they traded Mookie, I'm done.
So your loyalty to your fans, to your teams, is not ideal, not great.
You could knock me for that if you want, but Mookie was my guy. And they had already won, and I do have a thing about rooting for losers. So, like, I was not on the Steeler bandwagon in this, you know, when they won those four championships.
All right, now let's go to Mike. And I don't know.
Thanks for feigning interest, Dave.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to pretend that I'm disgusted with you, to be honest. Mike and Tom's River. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Oh, here we go.
We're doing great, Mike. How you doing?
First off, my Mets not doing themselves any favors in the standings, but they were able to play some last minute defense on Jokic, which is a big, big good sign moving forward. But my main point, everybody's talking about the Knicks-Hawks matchup. And if you look at the, I don't know if you guys touched on this earlier, but, and if you look at the standings, the Hawks and the Heat are same record, schedule, couple games left. If it's Miami against the Knicks in the first round, everyone's talking about the Knicks should win the first round in 5-6 games. That's not happening against Miami. We didn't say that. We hate that series.
No, I said they would lose the series today.
Not you guys. On the radio, I'm hearing the fans. Everyone's thinking for this to be successful, we got to win the first round. But if you get Miami, everyone's only talking about the Hawks. It's a totally different series against Miami.
I will tell you this, Mike, and we said it earlier, and thanks for the call. The only team that I think I would expect the Knicks to beat in the first round is Atlanta. That's it. The other teams, I give them very little chance to win that series.
You'd be hard-pressed against Miami. And we'll see what happens down the stretch here. I mean, you look at both the schedules. I mean, Washington's red hot. Like, Dave, you mentioned that, you know, Beal's going to be out. Atlanta's going to see them a couple times. And then Miami's schedule to finish off the season is they're at Boston, they got the Sixers, Milwaukee, and then they're at Detroit. So, let's just hope that, you know, Miami scuffles down the stretch. Atlanta wins a couple games so we can see Atlanta in the first round.
Yeah. That's what you need. You're not beating anybody else.
Carlin, in about 5 minutes, you're just practice this with me. Can you say everybody?
Yeah, no, everybody.
Yeah, there you go. You're gonna do that. In,
everybody.
How about best part of the show last week is when Canty was already off the show and somebody calls in
and they said, "Hey, Chris, how you did? I love you, Chris."
No, he goes, so someone called in, Carlin, at the end of the show, and Canty was already off, and they're like, "Rick, you know, da 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 da, Dave, yeah." Yo, Chris, thanks for the Super Bowl. And Chris was on, so Dave goes, my man.
Because that's what he says. If anybody ever calls and congratulates him for the Super Bowl, he's like, my man. So guy calls and is like, Chris, thank you so much for the Super Bowl. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to have that awkward moment. I just said, my man. I didn't know what to do. I got caught in a moment. All right, let's spend a minute on the NFL.
You guys is unbelievable. I love his attitude.
A good attitude. What do you want me to tell you? Rob Saleh, what do you want to see from the rookies on the Jets this year?
Out of all the rookies, not just Zach, but, you know, we really want these guys to just not only get the introduction from the coaching staff and the scheme, but also introduce themselves to us and what they want us to know about them. So this is kind of a low pressure, come out, you know, just introduce yourself to the scheme, introduce yourself to us, and just get a good feel. It's you know, it's not a conditioning contest out there. It's more just kind of going with the flow of the weekend and getting a good feel of what it's like to be a professional.
All right, so that's just for the little meet and greet they're doing this week. But as far as when we get to September, that's when there is pressure. That's not low pressure when we get to the regular season.
Look, Do you think Zach Wilson is starting week one?
Yes.
Well, he's the only option right now. Who else?
Yes. Well, right now he is. Yeah,
yes.
But I mean, there could be, you could bring in Nick Foles or somebody like that.
Mullins.
Yeah, whether it's somebody else. I don't think that there necessarily has to be a rush to start him just to start him.
I agree with that, but I do believe he's the starting quarterback week one.
He probably will be, but I would not hate bringing in somebody else and giving that a chance for a few games. If you can find some, if Nick Foles or somebody like that is willing to do that, I would try to do that just because I think if he's not ready to go, he's going to be best served by sitting a couple of games. And I don't want to make the same mistakes again. I don't want to make the same mistakes. That's all.
Yeah, I think we all understand. All right, let's see if you got a star today. I hope you did for your sake. Santi, here you go.
Today's three stars of DCR. Number three.
Dave, I haven't asked you. How you doing?
Don't do it. Don't do it.
And you know what?
Mike,
if you asked
Tom
me
Zerver,
before
morning,
the show.
Mike.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Oh, here we go. If you asked me before the show, Dave, how you doing? That'd be fine. And the first caller of the day, also fine. I don't need it all show long for every caller to say, hey, how you doing? It's such old, boring, bland radio. We're done with that. We've moved past it here.
Listen, I was genuinely interested. I hadn't spoken to you all weekend. I missed you on Friday. Just wanted to make sure everything was good.
We missed you terribly.
Number two.
Number two is going to go to the New York Knicks. Impressive win yesterday in L.A. They got another one tomorrow night. Magic number to clinch the sixth seed. Stay out of the play-in. Two games. Boston loses to the Heat, and the Knicks somehow beat the Lakers. Locked into the sixth seed. Love it.
Number one.
Number one. Thank you for bringing this to our attention, Chris Carlin. This beef with Jay Will, apparently, that kept him from dialing into the show in his usual spot. I want to get to the bottom of this. I hope we can figure out why a fellow Jersey guy, and as another Jersey guy, this kind of pains me that this is happening to you. So I want to get to the bottom of this, and hopefully Jay Will can join us tomorrow and kind of explain his disdain for you that led for him not coming on the show today.
Let's be clear. It's all speculative. And again, more likely the Long Island guy, Han, is to blame.
But look at you, Carlin. Day one on the show, you get the number one star because you have a beef with Jay Williams.
He's got a punchable face. I think that's fair enough to say.
Yeah, I do. I do have a punchable face. I'll admit that. I just don't think that, Han continuing to screw me over is really necessary.
If you miss Chris Canty this morning, wait no more. He's going to be on KJZ in just a moment here on 98.7. My man. Oh, it's going to be terrific radio. All right, let's see how you do here, Carlin. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Playing a champion is DiPietro, Carlin, Rothenberg, and...
Everybody.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.